Turning 40. I did that once. Soon it will be your turn. My mother imitated Jack Benny and said 39 whenever asked. She tinted her hair red till she was 80 and looked almost youthful. Disconcertingly so. There is something perennially young about 39. A cusp of sorts. My quilting friends gave me fabrics with black backgrounds when I turned 40. As with all challenges, the unexpected is what ties things together. This should be a warning not to challenge a quilter. Something lasting will come of it. It hangs above my bed. You will hop over 40 like a skateboarder. It will be another tidy fraction of your life. The pine trees we planted that long ago continue to spread their shade, weathering worst winters, August droughts, hailstorms. You, like them, are settling in for the future.
And you is your son?
Yes. Now, I could have written it for the first son, but I ended up writing it for the second son.
You have to write one for all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Like many artists, Elaine, you branch off to different art forms, which I think is relatively common, that creative people like to be creative in different ways. So there's quilting and there's poetry. And in this poem, you had a little bit of both. How do you think of yourself? Are you a quilter, a poet, or are you a poet quilter, or what?
Probably the or what. But I did quilting a long time before I took up poetry.
Did
so
you?
I would say that came first. But I think now I probably write more poetry than I make quilts.
What does poetry give you that quilting doesn't? Is there something, and vice versa, is there something that one art form gives you that another doesn't?
Time. I think the nice thing about writing is that you can come up with something fairly quickly. You may work on it forever, but in the scheme of things, you could conceivably write a poem in 20 minutes if you're really good. You cannot make a quilt in 20 minutes. I'm not saying you may have a good poem, but you could conceivably do it.
Yeah, possible. How did you get into quilting? Is that a family thing that was done, or how did you get interested in that?
I learned how to sew in 4-H, and my mother was a 4-H leader. So sewing was something we did, but I didn't make my first quilt until I was married, and that was out of pure boredom, I hate to say.
Uh-oh, is your husband listening?
Maybe. It was more that the first place we went, he is a veterinarian, the first place we moved was into an apartment above the vet clinic.
Ah.
I was alone all day then because it was a small town. I knew no one. And I just had asked my mother for all the fabrics that she had, and I started putting a quilt together.
Did it have dogs and cats on it?
No. No.
So your background is Iowa, correct?
Yes.
You know, I've been through Iowa a few times, and when I think of it, it's a beautiful state. I love trees, but for me, it was all these rolling hills, and there's something quilt-like, in fact, about the landscape.
Mm-hmm. Grant Wood said it best, I mean, in his artwork, because of the rolling hills and the very grid of Iowa.
Yeah.
Works for quilts.
Yeah. In fact, have you ever done a quilt like that, where it's kind of like looking at your home landscape?
Not really, but I have done several quilts with Iowa, and I've done a spring in Iowa, a summer in Iowa, autumn in Iowa, and a Christmas in Iowa. So I have used that, and I would say there are some hints. The one that's the, and then I've done one called Over the Meadow, which is basic, I think, it looks like birds flying over grid.
Yeah.
So I think the imagery still is in me. But I've lived in Michigan longer than I lived in Iowa.
Yeah, but there's something about our initial home, isn't there?
Probably.
Or do you think of yourself as Michigander now?
Depends on my mood.
I'm thinking, too, how, and I could be completely off on this, I think about the quilts I saw when I was very young, And they seem to be more a project of leftover pretty scraps. Now when I see quilts, and I'm thinking the Art Hops or Art Prize in Grand Rapids, I've seen quilts that are more like paintings in fabric, almost poetry in fabric, very different, creating faces and that kind of a thing. What are your thoughts on that? Do you veer towards one or the other? Or
I am in awe of them, and I have admiration and pure jealousy, but I am more of old school. I came at it much as you thought, with scraps. Mm-hmm. I mean, I certainly purchased plenty of fabric. I have a whole room full of fabric, but I still like the idea of the surprise that happens when you put two fabrics together that probably no one thought would go together.
Yeah.
And it works.
Yeah.
I think that's fun. And so I am more of the old school.
So talk about your process. How does the idea begin? Do you see an image, or you're just playing around with these scraps, or how does it begin for you?
Well, I've done different approaches, so I can't be that specific. I've done it differently. Sometimes I know exactly where I'm heading, and other times not at all. And some of my best work, and I've had friends tell me this, some of my best work is when I combine things that shouldn't have been together. I have one that was in the show that had been in the show in Three Rivers a few years ago that I've called Needles, Scraps, and Patience. And that ended up being about five or six pieces that had not made it into something else. It looks like a scene of trees, and then there are some blocks that are around the flying geese pattern that was left over from something else.
Yeah.
And so I just combined them in an interesting pattern, and that's one of my favorite pieces.
There you go. Isn't that a little like poetry?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think.
Mm-hmm. It is similar. Do you feel like it's similar when you work? Does one art form sometimes inspire the other?
Well, right now I've been doing a lot of poetry that I've taken the titles from my quilts, and I've used the title as the starting point for a poem.
Ah.
I think I had given some of my work some really good titles. I have one that's called My Mother Sew Dresses for Five. That was the name of a quilt because I used fabrics that had been handed down from my mother's sewing. And I have one that's called Quarter Moon Rolling Through the Milky Way. And that was one that I had done as a quilt. And now I have made a poem with that title.
Mm.
So if you're asking for inspiration, yeah, I think I've either that or I'm feeding off of my own stuff to the point where I should be full by now.
I don't know. And you have a new manuscript, don't you, that
yes.
Combines the two with
mm-hmm.
photographs?
They're the photographs of the quilts.
When you're working on a project, do you immerse yourself for the whole day? Is it a come-and-go type of work? How long does it take you?
For which?
That's true. Quilt.
Oh, nobody should ever ask a quilter how long it takes. That's not fair. Because you don't do it at one sitting ever.
Right, of course not.
And I am now back to my roots, which was hand piecing. I like that because I can carry it with me. We travel quite a bit, and I can hand piece. I cannot carry a machine with me, so I just I have to plan
hand,
my
hand
stuff.
Piece meaning you work on like one square at a time?
No, it means that instead of taking two pieces and putting them right sides together and putting them through a sewing machine where there's a seam allowance, it means you are using a needle and a thread on the quarter inch line so that you have the seam allowance. And then
see.
It makes it very old fashioned. Let's just put it that way because nobody does that anymore.
Well, that makes it kind of special.
Well, what it does is make it softer. By that, I mean,
you don't feel those hard steams.
Yeah, I mean, we all have every piece of clothing we have is sewn with a machine stitch, and you know what that feels like.
True.
But a hand pieced stitch, because a machine, you have two threads going in and out,
intersecting.
Yeah, yeah. Whereas a hand stitch is only one thread. Going every other top and bottom.
Okay. Oh, interesting. So do most of your quilts end up as a wall hanging, or do people use them? And do you sell them to people?
Well, I have sold quite a few, so I have gaps in my collection. I don't, and other people have them.
Yeah. And do they use them like as bedspreads or on the couch?
Your design process is different if you're doing a bed quilt or if you're doing a wall.
Okay. You can tell I know nothing about quilting.
Well, doing something for the wall is very much like doing something for a 2D piece of painting, or because you have to enjoy it from a distance and you have to enjoy it from close up. And these are the two things that play against each other. A quilt for the bed is more of soft sculpture. You have to see what the surface is going to be, where it curves over to go down. So you're designing a different thing if it's going to be on a bed.
That makes sense.
However, a lot of those that can be on a bed look just as good up.
Yeah.
If you've done it right.
Do you do commission work?
I have only done that once and said I'd never do it again.
Why is that?
There are too many restrictions. They decide the colors. I mean, that particular person did.
Holds back the creativity a little bit. Yeah. Over the years, have you developed a immense collection? If we go digging around in Elaine Seaman's basement, do we find 150 quilts?
Well, maybe 45, but I don't have other people's quilts. One of my treasures is an old top that I quilted, the top. But then I did the quilting, and I will admit that's one of my favorites, and I didn't do the top. I didn't make it.
I just
quilted it.
When you get up in the morning, which way do you go?
It's different now.
Or is it a mood, the muse that hits you that morning? Today I want to work on fabric. Today I want to work on words.
I have almost been too busy the last 2 years to worry about that. It's more catching it when you can. Now, don't ask me what I've been doing, because mostly my husband would say not much. But
what a husband's know.
Yeah. So it's more of a catch as you catch can, is that how I said. Now, I will say, because I do the hand piecing, part of love the most is cutting. And then I like to have that in my hands at night to be hand piecing while I'm watching TV. You can make progress. It's much like knitting then.
True, yeah.
Because you can put your, if you have it all ready to go, you just can sew your pieces together while you're watching TV.
Have you done exhibits or shows of your work?
I had a retrospective a few years ago, and I wish I remembered that year, maybe 2014, maybe 2015, in Three Rivers at the Carnegie Center. And that was a real honor. It was nice seeing them up. It was good.
Saw it in a different way, maybe?
Yeah.
Your work?
Yeah.
All as one piece in a way.
Well, they complement each other, but they aren't the same.
So let's talk a little bit more about your poetry. Words.
Mm-hmm.
How do they come together for you?
I've always said that if I can get my first line, I can keep going. And that has been maybe a struggle lately, but that's worked for me.
Well, and you said the names of the quilts, so there's your first line.
Right now, that's what I have done, yes.
And how do you come up with the names for the quilts?
Well, I will say this. My first chapbook, my only chapbook, is called Rocks in the Wheatfield. And all of the poems in that are traditional quilt pattern names. Road to California, Young Man's Fancy, Monkey Wrench, Time and Tide. These are all traditional
quilt patterns.
And so for that, I was responding to traditional titles. And when I was naming my quilts, I just had fun naming them for the most part. The one that I like a lot is called Humble Beginnings. Now, my poem is about going home, but Humble Beginnings, the reason I called it that was that it is a play on the log cabin block. And the log cabin block, traditionally, it starts with a square in the middle, and then that's the fire in the fireplace, and it's usually red. And then you put logs around it, too light on one side and too dark on the other, and that's the sunshine and the shadow side. And so you keep working with these strips around the center square, and you've made a log cabin.
I can see it.
And when I did my block called that, or quilt that I called Humble Beginnings, all I did was use a center square, one log on the outside, of light and one on dark, and it was basically a shed, right? It's not a whole log cabin. It's just a shed. It has two strips around. And that's why I called it Humble Beginnings. But then when I used it as the title for a poem, it ended up being Going Home to My Humble Beginnings in Iowa.
Oh, I love that. Your work intersects more than I thought, perhaps, going into this, you know, the quilting and the writing.
Well, I never really gave up on either of them. They probably float around in my head and fight each other. I don't know.
Oh, I think they get along quite well. I saw a video online of one of your quilts, and you did this interesting technique of how you, usually when you think of a quilt, they're all seam to seam, but this one... You used nuts and bolts to
attach them? Just the nuts.
Talk about that quilt. If we can describe that a little bit.
Well, that one is the depiction of my hometown in Iowa, Mount Carmel, Iowa. And that is a town of 100 people. And even yet, it hasn't grown. My brother lives in our parents' house. I mean, he owns it. And so we go back there every year. I had this idea. I've done a different one where the connecting ones are buttons. And that one I call 11 Houses and a Fish. And that one has the same technique where it's quilt as you go. And when you do quilt as you go, you're adding the three layers together. You know, that's what a quilt is, right? Three layers. And you do it all at one time, but you have to do it on a machine. So you start with your center piece and then you put your right sides together, sew it through the machine, you know, through all the layers. But you can't get that big. I mean, you can't make a full quilt that way because your last pieces would be so big.
Okay.
So you have to work fairly small if you're doing this quilt as you go. And that one, I aim to make everything look like a house. And so there'd be a house with stuff around it. One of them is a lighthouse because it's a narrow, tall thing.
Yeah.
And so I connected those. You know, you finish it at like a potholder.
Okay.
And then if you want them all together, you have to somehow get those together. And so I did that by buttons. Well, this one that has to do with the Mount Carmel one, instead of using buttons, I use nuts because my dad was a mechanic and he had a garage. And
there you go.
And that was the connection between that plus our whole family is nuts.
So you can use different materials besides fabrics. That's getting really creative, too. I love it. How did you learn quilting?
Well, like I said, it's just one step beyond sewing clothing. You're just sewing different pieces together as long as you can make seams.
And you said you learned from your mom.
Yeah. She was the 4-H.
Was she a quilter at all?
My mother did embroidery squares where...
Oh, okay.
You remember those?
Yeah.
And then they would have to be put together. But at some point, she just simply gave them to me to put together.
Yeah.
And I did a couple of those that were her blocks. That was later on when she wasn't doing as much. But
yeah.
But it was therapeutic for her.
I was going to say, it seems like something like quilting is very calming.
I agree.
Kind of de-stressing there. Whereas a poem might be building tension.
I think that's true.
Let's have another of your poems and maybe tell us a little bit about it and which book it comes from. You've got a couple of books there.
This one, the book is called Bird at the Window. And unfortunately, I think I have the last copies of it because the publisher died and then the wife sent the rest to me. So it's not like you can go online and get it, but you can ask me.
There you go.
This poem, I thought, has always been appropriate, but it's appropriate for this time again. I had passed a garage sale sign, and the G and the A were gone, so it just said rage sale.
Oh, interesting.
So this is that poem, Rage Sale. You may think two letters precede, but trust me, I have rage to sell. Those little ones hung on that pegboard, those got in front of me, tailed too close, made a snotty remark ones, they're free for the taking. It's harder to part with the hand-knitted ones, those interlocking malice aforethoughts that are still wrapped around my ankle. Those losses of friendship, those stomping, door-slamming fights, those jealousies, those wishes for a decent goodbye. I'm ready to part with my political angers. They're stacked like puzzles over on the floor. It's not that I'm not right, believe me. It's just that no one agrees with me, and I'm tired of waiting for horse sense to kick in. But mostly, I need a clean place to start, a brushed-off place to sit down and regroup. Any offer will do.
Oh, I like that one. Rage sale. Need to quilt more often these days?
Don't we all?
Thank you for coming in, Elaine. Enjoyed talking with you.
Thank you.